The small Phrygian town of Colossae in Asia Minor lay in a beautiful valley of one of the affluents of the famous river Meander. At first, Colossae had been a wealthy city, as it was on the great commercial route leading east. But the road system changed, and the nearby towns of Laodicea and Hierapolis began to prosper, while Colossae lost much of its importance. Each of these cities had Christian communities, which had probably been established during the years of Paul's missionary work in Asia Minor, but the apostle himself had not founded them. It seems that he had never preached or taught there. The churches came into being through the efforts of Paul's disciples and fellow workers. The believers in Colossae had received sound basic teaching, but gradually problems began to arise as the result of heretical notions spread by false teachers. In order to counter these doctrinal errors, the leader of the church in Colossae, Epaphras, decided to go to Rome to get Paul's help and advice. It was about the year AD 62. Paul held Epaphras, who was probably the founder of the Church of Colossae, in high esteem, calling him our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ. While in Rome, Epaphras spent his time in prison with him, as Paul says in his letter to Philemon that he was his fellow prisoner for Christ Jesus. In many ways, Epaphras brought good news about the churches in Phrygia, as Paul speaks of the believers' growth in knowledge and their faith, hope, and love in the Spirit. But there were also problems, stemming from a tendency to introduce other notions and customs into the Christian faith. The church in Colossae was composed of Jews, Greeks, and Phrygians, who came from very varied backgrounds and cultures, and each tried to make their own particular beliefs or ideas accepted by the others. The Jews wanted to maintain the Jewish festivals and certain aspects of the Law of Moses. Other members practiced a type of unsound mysticism, teaching a false humility and the worship of angels. They claimed to be superior because of their visions, but were in fact puffed up with pride. Still others encouraged legalistic asceticism, preaching abstinence and harsh treatment of the body. The Greeks favored philosophy and thought systems built on human tradition and the basic principles of this world. All these ideas and practices tended to lessen the believer's total confidence in Christ and to undermine faith in the Lord's perfect work of salvation. The notion of a works merit basis of acceptance with God was added to faith in the all-sufficiency of Christ's person and work. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul energetically opposes these false doctrines by exalting Christ's uniqueness and supremacy throughout the universe. Paul begins the epistle with his usual apostolic greeting, and then thanks God for the faith and love of the Christians in Colossae. He prays that they will grow in wisdom and understanding, and in the knowledge of God's will, so that they might live holy lives, pleasing to the Lord and fruitful in every good work. He asks that they might be strengthened with God's glorious power, so that they could endure all things with patience, giving thanks with joy to the Father, who has rescued us, says Paul, from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, by whom we have redemption, namely the forgiveness of sins. Then Paul describes the supremacy of Christ as Creator, his sovereignty as Lord of all the universe, and his preeminence as head of the Church, his spiritual body. Christ, he says, is the visible image of the invisible God, superior to all created things. Paul explains that Christ is supreme over all that exists, of which he is both the creator and the sustainer. By him all things were created, he writes, both in heaven and on earth, whether visible or invisible, all things were created by him and for him. He existed before all things, and in him all things hold together. Then Paul goes on to explain Christ's work as Redeemer, who imparts resurrection life. He is the firstborn from among the dead, and the beginning of the new creation, he says, so that in everything he might have the first place. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, And it is through him that God reconciles to himself all that exists, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Christ's work of reconciliation brings the believer back to God. As a result of the fall, man is alienated from God and at enmity with him because of evil thoughts and behavior. But now the sinner can be reconciled to God by Christ's death on the cross, which makes him holy, pure, and without fault in God's presence, as long as he remains true to the faith and firm in the hope held out in the gospel. Next episode, the letter to the Colossians continued.